closer.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD!
Hey, Bo. Good afternoon, man.
Man, good afternoon to you too, sir. How you doing today?
Man, I'm in pain.
Wait, whoa. Wait, what?
I did something really dumb this week. Well, that's not shocking. I got angry at a customer. Like, someone came in and they were complaining about a cigar, and, you know, I have no control over the quality of, you know, how cigar manufacturer, you know, does their leaves or whatever. And I got really kind of frustrated with this particular customer, and they weren't particularly gracious. But the fact of the matter is, I didn't handle myself well. And so I walked away and I went into my office, and I got about four steps in my office, and I kicked the first thing I saw really hard.
Oh no. Did you break your toe?
So I didn't. I thought I had broken the, I guess you'd call it like the bridge of my foot, the top part of my foot, but I kicked a vacuum cleaner.
well, that's okay. You weren't using it anyway.
Well, exactly. That's kind of funny about it. It's like, you know, if you know anything about the Country Squire, you've been there enough, you know that it's like probably the most neglected piece of the item at our shop. It's a doggone vacuum cleaner. And so I kicked it really hard, and it was really embarrassing. And I'm really just saying this on air as a form of repentance, and also just to get it out of the way because it's really ridiculous. But you know, I kicked it really hard, and I thought I broke some bones in the top part of my foot there. And so I actually went and had it x-rayed, and the doctor is like, "Nah, you're just really bruised, but I can't wait to go home and tell my wife about this." I had a cigar salesman come in here and say he thought he broke his foot because he kicked a vacuum cleaner. It's like, you've got to. So anyway, I'm kind of limping. Yeah, I was on crutches for 2 days, and now couple of days have just been keeping a lot of pressure on it, ice packs and stuff like that. But you just mess up occasionally, and sometimes we let our feelings get away from us. And I'm just glad for a gracious Lord and gracious friends, but just a little beat up.
Oh man, listen, I have certainly kicked my share of vacuums from that standpoint. I'm sorry that happened. Man, and it is, you know, it's one of those things. I often think about, like, folks like yourself. Like, retail can be all over the map in terms of what that experience is like with customers. You know what I mean? Like, when I was, you know, long, like, lives ago, when I used to work in telecom, I was a retail manager in kind of the telecom space. And so more often than not, I'd say probably the vast majority of people coming into the shop were coming in to complain about their phone bill. And so, like, nobody's coming in there looking to, like, have, like, a really positive experience. They come in there angry and expecting to be mad. And then you have to, as best you can, try to explain to them an overly complicated bill, which as a retail person, you didn't decide. But now your job is you have to try to educate them on that and explain to them, well, yes, I'm sorry, you do owe this extra $100 you didn't realize. You know, like, it was rough. So it was a terrible, terrible.
They take it out on you, and then you take it out on the closest vacuum cleaner you can find.
Exactly.
You
know? So that's the thing. So I did that job. But I remember before that, my retail experience was working in a coffee shop. And man, night and day, people come in the coffee shop, and what do they look?
Yeah, they're happy. They're excited to see you, man. It's like going to the candy store.
Exactly. You're giving them their daily fuel. Yeah. It's like, oh yes, you are my day's savior. Like they're like all in. And it's just, you know, so it can be all over the map. And I've often thought that the cigar pipe experience had to have been way more like the coffee shop. And so
It definitely is. We, you know, it's the fun play. It's not like, it's an easy sell, right? People come in and they're excited to, purchase something. It's not like I'm trying to sell them, you know, life insurance or something or, you know, whatever. So, it is like that candy shop kind of feel. But occasionally, you know, we have some difficult situations where humans act like broken humans. And so, you know, I made a fool of myself and suffering the consequences Anyway, luckily, this was the week, as we're recording, it's July 23rd, and luckily, this was the week that Sun Bear from Cornell and Deal came out, which, of course, is the two-time defending champion of Country Squire Radio Best of 10 Tobacco, two-time defending champion. And so I was really looking forward to trying that and got a can of it and smoked. I've smoked a total of one bowl out of it, but enjoyed it so far. Looking forward to working my way through that 10. So I've been sitting on my crippled leg, just kind of enjoying my pipe.
Licking your wounds.
And enjoying some of Jeremy Reeves's handiwork. So, but yeah, man, things are... We're doing fine.
I think making it is the word you're looking for. Yeah, absolutely, man. Yeah. Well, look, I know there's been a lot of people out here doing their best in the midst of what has been some trying times. You shared last week about a mutual friend of ours who's been going through a really rough time. You want to give a quick update there?
Yeah, we had mentioned briefly either last week or week before a dear friend of mine. We are calling this person EC, and she lives in Texas and suffered a very, very rare form of heart attack that happens kind of postpartum. It's something that young women can experience right after giving birth. And anyway, just very life-threatening situation. And a lot of listeners were kind enough to reach out about that and just kind of inquire. We really touched by that. So anyway, I just want to give a quick update. EC is obviously in very critical condition, but is doing okay. Yeah, we're really grateful for her progress, and she is going to have some kind of damage to her heart and probably her liver, but she's stable and kind of improving. So we're grateful for that. We're not out of the woods, but certainly kind of moving in the right direction. So real tender time. But anyway, I just want to say thank you to the people that, had asked about EC. And if you did kind of lift up some thoughts and prayers for her, we certainly appreciated that. So.
Very much so, yep. Man. We've got an amazing listener community here. It's always just such a huge encouragement whenever, just checking in on even like tangentially, that word, the thing,
words, period, Bo.
This is, this is very true, right. But no, but the people who are connected to the show, even if loosely, it means a lot to us. And man, one of the things that I think we've been blown away by, especially in the last few weeks, is the amount of visitors that have made their way to Jackson, Mississippi on their pipe pilgrimage.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. And, of course, we have to remember the world is opening back up and folks are eager to get out. And so we're seeing that, right? We're seeing, some travel that folks, a lot of pent up energy from that kind of, standpoint. But we have had so many pilgrims at the Squire over the past month. It's been breathtaking. It's like every day someone new walks in, and we get to experience just these great stories about people, coming cross country to either coming just to see the Country Squire from, other time zones, which is amazing, or, on a vacation and are taking a huge detour. Maybe instead of going in a straight line to their destination, they're taking this big dog leg to come see us. And we're just so honored. Just over the past month, I wanted to thank the following people just for sticking their head in the Squire, having a pipe with us, enjoying a few moments. We've got Tyler and Joshua from Amarillo, Dan from Fort Worth, Eric from Delaware, Sim from Springdale, Arkansas, Angel from Catoosa, Oklahoma, Alan and Zach from South Carolina, Patrick from Virginia, Joshua from Henniston, Louisiana, James and Charlotte from Longview, Texas, Beth and Paige from Kenosha, Wisconsin, and Jason from LaGrange, Georgia. All you folks that have just taken time out of your incredibly precious, busy calendars and given it to us for a few moments to swing through our dusty little town. We were just incredibly honored by that. And I just wanted to acknowledge it because the past month has been breathtaking. So we're so grateful for you. Tyler and Josh came through this past week and dropped me off some local Texas-made whiskey and gin, and that was really nice. Josh, Tyler had even made me a he does some leather working on the side, and he made me kind of this little tobacco tray that was really beautiful. And it's got the Country Squire logo on it. It's just really, really amazing. So anyway, we're just moved, honored, and so grateful for all your enthusiasm. So anyway, really cool. Just wanted to mention that.
That is so cool. I don't suppose any of that the liquid might allegedly make its way to Houston, allegedly.
It allegedly could, I guess. I mean, no. I don't know. We'll see. Well, you know, what's in it for everybody involved? Yeah.
Okay. All right. Oh, man. That's awesome. Man, doing the work for the state of Mississippi, ladies and gentlemen. Love to see it. Thank y'all so much for coming and visiting the shop and visiting the hometown for sure. Yep. Man, all right. Anything else? Housekeeping items before we need to...
No, man. Let's dive in. I'm ready to talk about our ongoing series.
Yeah. Here. The closest thing we've ever done to this before was the Shire Select, which we did fairly recently, where we did kind of a two-part series that honestly just the nature of... the content we were covering required a lot of time to get through it all. And we didn't want to have to split it up over time because it would feel a little awkward to do so. And so we're getting a little experimental with this, having kind of a mini series of shows all about the same topic back to back. I don't know if this will end up being a regular thing, but maybe when the topic requires it. And I think this has been very much a topic that requires it. Of course, we're talking about our How to Train Your Palate series. This will be part three and I think the final episode in that series. And, you know, as I was sharing with you right before we went live, I was kind of nervous about utilizing this style of miniseries to kind of go like, I mean, are people going to feel like this is too repetitive? Is it going to, you know, are we going to get the hate mail coming in and
too
be like
scholastic or something, you know?
Yeah. And on the contrary, man, the support for the series has been very high. People have really, really enjoyed it. And I think enjoyed the extra time to be able to, you know, quote unquote, get it right.
Yeah. Yeah, man, I'm just honored. You know, I really am. Been really pleased that folks have allowed the tobacco nerd to indulge in some of what kind of pushes our buttons. And you know, just talk about training your palate, expanding your palate, understanding what's happening when you're smoking tobaccos that you like and you don't like and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, it's just been a good thing to dive into. We've covered quite a bit of ground. We're going to wrap it up today. And, you know, we reserve the right to occasionally maybe revisit if we need to down the road, but
that's right.
I'm glad folks have enjoyed it. So,
all right. So in the first episode, you kind of gave us a framework and kind of a working lexicon, a definitions, and, you know, the vocabulary that we need to discuss the concept of talking about one's palate and flavors and the like.
Yeah.
In the second episode, we got into the various kind of flavors that are out there and you know, what you might kind of associate with. Nobody's told you yet, right?
Told me what?
All right, great. That's you know, that's all
that's
I need
what
to
you want to hear.
That's what I wanted to hear. Okay, cool. So that's that. So that was the discussion last week.
Great. Okay.
All right. You know what? I'm just going to confess right here and now. I put it in the show notes. I said, spoilers, they all taste like raisins.
jackass. Yeah.
I know. I'm sorry.
No, that's it. That's it. That's great. Congratulations. You're all raisin gets a whole piece of pie in the Country Squire Radio tasting wheel. So
that's right. All right. So how are you bringing us home, man? What are we going to talk about today?
So we talked, as you mentioned, kind of that first episode. You know, do you like a tobacco? Asking the question why. Some things we enjoy without really thinking about it, but kind of started to explore, you know, the deeper reasons for why you might, you know, enjoy some of your favorite tobaccos and just, you know, asking those questions, investigating. We talked about flavor, its relation to taste, and how Tobacconist University defines flavor as taste plus aroma. And so, you know, when we talk about taste, we're talking about kind of the human ability to identify these broad categories, you know, of, you know, sensory input in your mouth, essentially. So we talk about sweet and salty and fruity and nutty and all these different things. Today, we're, you know, wrapping up the concept of taste, and then we're going to move into a couple other things that affect the palate. You know, these are just, again, items that we'll talk about and see where the conversation goes, and hopefully it's been beneficial to someone. But, you know, we've talked about kind of this tasting wheel, right? You've seen something like this before if you've gone in maybe a coffee shop or, you know, some place. You know, you see this a lot in the wine, the premium wine world, and even more now in the whiskey world. You know, this kind of flavor wheel variety. It's like this kind of rainbow spectrum of different flavors that you can associate with. And we talked about fruit. We talked about this kind of nebulous confectionery bakery distilled portion. We talked about the herbal and spice portion, and then a nut portion as well. Now, I picked on Beau some for, you know, not being able to really describe, like, you know, the words like vanilla or almond or pepper without really using other foods or, you know, edible things as a reference point, I guess. And that's part of our flavor, you know, our experience. That's part of our tasting experience. So we're going to round out the tasting wheel today. The fifth part of that Country Squire Radio tasting wheel is the vegetal part of the wheel. And
gross.
Yeah, I know, right? It's just, nah, I don't want to eat my broccoli. You know, this is the part of the wheel that I start to have a lot of fun with because there's just so much nuance and almost mystery here. There's a lot, you know, kind of happens within this portion of the wheel. We've already talked about plants, you know, or tastes that are derived from plants, right? So, you know, those primary source things like a, you know, a strawberry, a cherry, things like an avocado or a nut or, you know, whatever. It's, you know, these are plants, but there's a different thing we mean when we talk about vegetal. Why do we have a different category here? You know, you've got herbal and you've got fruit and you've got nut flavors. These are all distinctive from vegetal flavors. And when I say vegetal, we are talking about vegetables. We are talking about that, but we're referring to also non-edible plants that have that distinctive flavor. You'll hear a lot of folks use the word grassy. Bo, you're from the South, and even though you're one of our more sophisticated residents, you're still Southern enough to probably, you know, if you're strolling down the street or maybe going fishing, you've probably at some point picked grabbed a piece of grass, like picked a piece of grass and put it in your mouth. Have you done that before? Just chewed on a piece of grass?
I'm pretty sure it's a prerequisite by the law.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah, I don't think you can get your learner's permit for your car.
That's exactly
unless
right.
You chew to. And by the way, I know you probably have no idea who Les Miles is. Les Miles was the head football coach at LSU for a long time. But he, you know, people made fun of him because he always would eat a piece of grass from the playing field before the football game. And the guy's just crazy as all get out, you know, but that was just one of his things, you know, would eat a piece of grass before. And so, you know, it's just kind of funny for some people. It has this sentimental thing. It's just, you know, kind of connecting with your surroundings and the earth. Bo, if you've tasted a piece of grass before, what, you know, I have to pick on you. What do you taste when you chew on a piece of grass?
I should have known this was coming. Okay. So
it's not like you can prepare for it.
No. All right. So, So generally I can picture it in the sense that there's like, you know, depending on how long the grass is and how fresh it is and all that kind of good stuff, then sometimes you get a little bit of water, you got a little bit of kind of a crunch that comes along with it. If you got kind of a thicker piece of grass down by the base there,
you're doing great.
I want to give you something, man. I really do. But I mean, like, I'm trying very hard not to just say like, oh, well, you know, it tastes like grass.
Yeah, exactly. And you're not sure necessarily, but you do associate it with. Yeah, I mean, there's a grass flavor. It's sour. It's juicy. You said water, which was really telling. It's sweet, but also bitter. You know, you've got a lot going on there, and you're not really sure how to describe it necessarily. But you know, there is a grassy plant life flavor there that you begin to associate with other plants if you start thinking about what plants taste like. And you know, you've probably remembered back to your high school science class. You and I were both. We majored in the fluffy stuff in college. We majored in stuff that you can't really make a living doing, you know. But the people in college that majored in something that wasn't gift shop might have taken a class where they studied chlorophyll and, you know, plant life and that kind of thing. Chlorophyll is what makes a plant green. It's contained in plants. It's actually derived from the Greek for pale green leaf. And it's essentially the substance that allows leafy plants to use light to make food. And so why are so many plants green? You know, we associate green with, you know, green lush vegetation. And that color is so common because of chlorophyll. And so that grassiness, that sour, juicy, sweet, is really trademark here. You know, that's kind of the experience there. As an aside, in the cigar world, if you're a cigar smoker, you may have gone into a humidor and seen green cigars, and you've thought, like, what the heck is that? You know, that's a green cigar, and you're like, did it go bad, or did they dye the leaf green in order to achieve that? And that type of leaf is called a candela. It's used mostly in cigars. We see it occasionally in pipe tobacco, particularly boutique blenders will sometimes use it, but it's mostly a cigar phenomenon. But these are green cigars that use candela wrappers, and they're actually cured to keep that chlorophyll inside the leaf through the process where normally that would be kind of cured out of the leaf. The chlorophyll stays in the leaf, and so it has this vegetal taste. The cigar has this grassy taste that, you know, for a lot of folks is off-putting, but for some folks, that's why they smoke that cigar. So it's fascinating. We kind of associate that grassiness with these different vegetable flavors. So when we talk about, you know, vegetal and plant life, you know, let's drill down a little bit. We do have that grassy flavor. We also have a hay-like flavor. Mm. Hay is more of like a grass that's been kind of dried out. You know, you might think of that as like a little more of a toasty flavor that has that that dried out grass. Then you've got stuff like a mossy flavor or even an algae flavor, something that's more pungent, but has a pungentness to it. And then there's other vegetal flavors that we think of kind of differently, things like tea. A lot of folks, when they smoke a particular tobacco, they get, green tea or black tea. Every time I open up a jar of luxury Navy Flake from Peter Stokeby, I'm just overwhelmed by the tea aroma from there, and that affects the flavor of it for me. It's very apparent. We have these woody flavors, which when we think of wood, you know, a lot of times we it's like, well, what does wood taste like? Well, I don't know. What does any of this stuff taste like? But we, you know, we think of cedary, oaky, smoky. You know, these are, just flavors that kind of tend to be more woody. And so that's an element of the vegetal thing as well. We get that some with oriental tobaccos and different types of burley. And then floral notes as well, the floral taste. You know, we think of, and again, we've tried to divorce, you know, these different categories from aromatic and non-aromatic. Like, that's real easy to do, right? All the fruit flavors are aromatic and all the, you know, vegetal flavors are non-aromatic. Well, it's not really like that. You know, you've got these floral notes that a lot of times we associate with things like small Turkish and Oriental tobacco leaves that are, you know, featured in some of the most prominent non-aromatics out there. So, and then we also have the floral note that you might get from like a Lakeland style blend that's got that rosiness to it, that's got more of a perfume element there. And so it's more of a nebulous category that we can pull out. And finally, there's the oats, and silage flavor. This is kind of a, you know, almost like a sweet feed type of thing. It's something that you might experience, you know, in a horse barn or something like that. Similar to hay, but it's probably a sweeter flavor to it that, you know, rounds it out. So it just drilling down on that vegetal and kind of beginning to understand more and more the nuances there of what that means and how it differs from, you know, maybe a nut flavor or a fruit flavor or some of the other categories we've discussed. So that's that. And then finally, kind of rounding out our flavor wheel, we've got earth and minerals. This is interesting to me because it's got so many different aspects that we think of as tastes, but it's like, where do these come from? We think about earthy things. We think about, you know, you walked into a barn, for instance, and I talked about the horse barn just a moment ago, you know, about the kind of oaty or hay-like silage type flavor, and some of that bleeds over into this. You've got this kind of mustiness, a soiliness there. You know, you start hearing a lot of these words thrown around when you bump into wine drinkers, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, you read the back of these bottles of wine and you're like, man, what was that guy smoking, right? Right, right, right. And also, who has ever tasted like, you know, barnyard or a piece of char or whatever they always say? And so, but we do get really interesting flavors here that bleed over both into the wine world, but also in the Scotch whiskey and, you know, malt whiskey world and bourbons. We think of tastes that are salty. We think of tastes that are musty, mineral flavor tastes, medicinal flavors that are there, almost like a rubbing alcohol flavor. Lead and graphite, we get that sometimes. That almost has like a bitter chalkiness to it, which is fascinating. And then things like soil that you would get that earthiness that's there has just a dirt earthiness. You know, how do you describe that? Well, it's like maybe you ought to go eat a piece of soil and find out, right? And so, you know, there's all these things that kind of bleed together, but these are kind of, you know, the flavors that we, or the tastes that we kind of are referring to round out the end of our Country Squire Radio tasting wheel. And so I just want you to, as you're smoking some of your favorite and some of your least favorite, for that matter, pipe tobaccos, I want you to be aware of what's happening. And I want you to begin to develop the vocabulary that you need to describe what you're experiencing, particularly the taste, because it's going to help you it's going to help you start to understand other tobaccos that you're also going to enjoy, and tobaccos, frankly, that you're not going to enjoy because it has commonalities like this. We talked about these kind of baselines, these reference points that we can point to in between some of these things. So just in a quick recap of that, we've got our fruit flavors, we've got our confectionery, bakery, and distilled flavors, we've got our herbal and spice flavors. We have our nut flavors, we have our vegetal flavors, and then we have our earth and mineral flavors. And all these kind of work together in order to create the flavor wheel that we experience, at least in my mind. So,
man. Yep. Wow. I kind of feel, you know, we've got so many talented listeners of Country Squire Radio. I am sure there's already some graphic designer who's puffing at his pipe right now and like already mind at work trying to figure out like, okay, how do I make this thing? So if you've been paying attention and if you've been collecting notes and everything and you happen to be a graphic designer who wants to take a crack at the flavor wheel, love to see what you get.
And
props to the one that's going to turn it in, and it's a full circle.
That's what I was going to say. You know, someone's going to do that. It's just going to be a pie chart, and then all the different wedges are just raisins. But there are different types of raisins. There's golden raisins and brown. Well, anyway, whatever. Rounding out, you know, we've talked about the tasting wheel. We mentioned particularly that first episode that you and I got together, Bo. We talked about other things that can affect your palate, and you know, in training your palate, if flavor is indeed a mixture of, you know, taste and aroma, we're talking more about a holistic experience here. I mean, we want to think it greater than just like, oh, that tastes like cherries, or oh, that tastes like a green tea, or this tastes like a cashew nut, or something like that. It goes beyond that, even though, you know, generally when we think of flavor, that probably is the primary thing that we're coming to grips with. But there's some other things that really affect the experience there and affect how your palate perceives what's going on in your mouth. And so I just want to touch on those things briefly. The first thing we'll talk about is mouthfeel. This is the condition that your mouth experiences when you're smoking a tobacco. You know, I may have mentioned this before. The sweet lady that hired me years and years ago, her name was Gwen Reeves, and she always would refer to specific tobaccos as kind to the mouth. Kind to the mouth. And I really like that verbiage. I like that saying. That, as a matter of fact, when we came out with our 50th anniversary Virginia Perique, which is available in a tin still, we put that on the label, kind to the mouth, because that describes a lot of what your experience is when you smoke a tobacco. Does it have tongue bite? That kind of fits in this mouthfeel category. Is it a bitey tobacco? Does it make your mouth feel coated or sticky? A couple episodes ago, you mentioned mentioned, I forget the either vegetable or something we were talking about, but you mentioned tasting something that was waxy. So that kind of fits here. Is it dry and tannic? Does it make your mouth, you know, kind of pucker a little bit? Is it a sweetness, but also has a cloying effect, which is more of a, almost a sickly sweetness that that you experience? And then there's the hot and cool nature of it as well. Does it burn hot or cool? And so, you know, we think, well, all tobacco's burning. It's just, you know, burning leaves. And so surely it's about the same temperature. But these have a different tasting effect on your palate. And so these are things to think about as well when you're trying new tobaccos, when you're experiencing your tobacco. I want to take just a moment here and talk about pH, because pH is very important, and it particularly is going to affect your mouthfeel. It's a measure of the acidity or alkalinity in your mouth. And so, you know, we're talking, you know, pH, the, you know, we're going back to our science class, you know, briefly. This majorly affects the way we experience foods and drink and anything you're consuming, but certainly tobaccos. It's measured on a scale from 0 to 14, where neutral is 7, and that's just kind of your baseline, you know, of where your body naturally sits. 0 to 7 is going to be your acid side, and then 7 to 14 is going to be your alkaline or basic side. But the reason we're talking about this is because it's affecting how you're experiencing the tobacco. Briefly, lemon juice is around a 2, so it's, you know, on that real acidic end. Tomatoes, 4. Milk is very neutral. It's about 6.5, and so it's just on the acidic side. Baking soda, you start to move into the alkaline part of the spectrum, and it's 8.5. You think of milk of magnesia as being 10, you know, and then you've got ammonia all the way over at 12. And what's interesting here, and what you need to know, is that tobacco usage pushes your body's pH into the alkaline. And so as you're consuming pipe tobacco, your body is it's being pushed into the alkaline. This is because ammonia is a byproduct of the fermentation process. And I just mentioned ammonia sits at 12 in the pH scale. And so as you're consuming, you know, any tobacco product, but particularly pipe tobacco, you're getting that, that nudge into the alkaline. And so that's more of a bitter, a dry, astringent flavor that you'll get from that. And so, and again, it's a natural byproduct of the fermentation process that we use in pipe tobacco. And so, you know, so when you talk about, okay, if my palate is being pushed into the alkaline pH because of, you know, ammonia content, and I'm starting to taste more things like bitter and dry and astringent, well, that's going to affect how you are experiencing that cherry tobacco, right, Bo? It's going to affect how you're experiencing that that English blend that has that silky peat flavor that's paired with those, you know, ripe Virginias. It's you know, all that is a part of it. So I just want to mention that, and there's ways that you can remedy this too. You've probably been into one of these like snobby coffee shops, you know, where they like, you know, they serve you, oh, I'd like to order a cortado or something. And so you order your little coffee, but then with that comes a little glass of sparkling water or something of that nature. And there is always a reason for that. The reason is not just to make, you know, people that don't do that feel like idiots or to make yourself feel better because you're drinking your little Topo Chico after you have your cappuccino. But it's actually, scientifically, what you're doing with sparkling water, milk, even plain white bread, for instance, you're taking your pH and you're pushing it, you're nudging it back towards the center. Huh. And so where your pH has become more alkaline from your tobacco consumption, sometimes a little water, even sparkling water, even a milk product, something like that, creaminess, is going to push you kind of back more towards your center line there. So something to keep in mind, you know, something to think about how that, you know, is affecting you. Milk chocolate can be nice from that standpoint. and kind of nudge you back in that direction. So anyway, something to keep in mind there. Next time someone offers you that little sparkling water at your coffee shop, maybe take them up on that. So
there you go. Adjust your pH.
Very finally, because we've got to run, but is body feel. Nicotine is certainly part of this, and we discussed it before, being part of the tobacco smoking experience, whether you're inhaling or not. That first episode, we discussed how it's a part of the experience, even though you're not inhaling, although it is, very less, effective on your body than, something like with a cigarette where it's going directly into your lungs. It's still part of the tasting, smoking experience. And so, really the nicotine, though, the body feel of this, it's affecting how your whole body is sensing things. You generally become more animated, more amped up, and then it kind of tends to go into a relaxing mode. It's this interesting bell curve that it has on your body, and it affects your perception and your enjoyment. When you're really charged up, you taste and experiencing things different than when you are more sanguine and relaxed, and the serene kind of being lulled to sleep type of thing. So be aware of that as you're, as you're consuming a tobacco product, and you do start to feel maybe the energy or maybe the more kind of slumbery effects of it. That's going to affect your thought process about what you're tasting and the flavor of the tobacco you're consuming. Things like Darkfire Kentucky, Perique, Burley, these are high nicotine content tobacco leaves. We move down the scale a little bit, Virginias, and then Black Cavendish and Latakia. Things that are lower in nicotine. And so just keep that in mind as you're enjoying tobaccos, that is having an effect on your perception of your palate, of your flavor, of what's happening inside your mouth. And also just, keep in mind that because of that, some tobaccos are best enjoyed in small doses. You don't want to overdo it on some of those that'll perhaps make your stomach turn a little bit if you smoke too much. So, but anyway, man, first three episodes of training your palate, expanding your palate, Country Squire Radio style. Man, I hope it's been a enjoyment for someone out there. I'm eager to, have all our new flavor enthusiasts come bombard our email inbox about what they're experiencing. So there it is.
Yeah, that's crazy, man. I didn't expect it to get as scientific as it did.
Yeah, I know, right?
I thought this was going to be more of like, like you go to the chef and you're like, oh, you must understand the emotion of the food and learn from the, like the whole, texture and I mean, obviously that was included.
It is. Yeah, very much so.
I never knew that we'd be getting into the pH level of the soil. I mean, of ourselves. Yeah. That's crazy.
It's true, man. It all has a role in affecting your palate. And if we're going to understand how and why we're enjoying the tobaccos that we're smoking, and why we enjoy one maybe more than another, and why we might smoke the same exact tobacco 2 days in a row but have a different experience in each one of those days, we've got to know what's going on within right. that. And so in training your palate, we just took a little time to drill down, and I hope folks enjoyed it.
Man, that was awesome. Thank you so much for that. Now, of course, as you are attempting to train your palate and kind of search for all of these different flavor profiles and the vegetable that is in your pipe to the vegetative, one of the things that you might want to consider is, of course, a good quality corn cob pipe from our friends at Missouri Meerschaum, but you might also want to expand your own pipe palate as well. Especially if you're trying to get to that mineral type of flavor profile. I don't know. Is this working?
You're doing great, man. Maybe a chalky flavor. Is that it?
Oh, yeah. Chalky. Yeah.
Man, we were talking today about the clay pipes, the Old Dominion clay pipes from our friends at Missouri Meerschaum. Of course, we know a year ago or so, Missouri Meerschaum merged and purchased the brand Old Dominion clay pipes, which is a historic pipe maker that has been making some of the world's finest clay pipes for a very long time. And now all under the Missouri Meerschaum brand. You can buy the world's finest corncob pipes and clay pipes from the same source. They're really cool. You know, I've talked about smoking out of clay before. Smoking out of clay is a very different experience. The clay gets hot. You know, it when it touches your mouth, it kind of, you know, affects your lips in an interesting way. The clay's different. But one thing I love about clay is that it is the purest flavor of a tobacco product that you can get. If you put a tobacco that you're interested in, you know, studying your, you know, how it's affecting your palate and how it's, you know, some tasting notes of going through the wheel and trying to figure out different ways that you're experiencing this particular tobacco, there is nothing better than a clay or a corncob pipe. And of course, the place to get those from is Missouri Meerschaum. So go to corncobpipe.com. At the top, if you click on smoking pipes and then you click on clay pipes, you'll be taken to their different clay offerings. They have the Williamsburg clay pipe, the Jamestown clay pipe. These all retail for under $25 and are great, great buys. And you can also buy some combo packs where they've put some stuff together with cobs, some of their hardwood pipes, and a clay pipe. So really, really cool. Check it out, corncobpipe.com. You can order it today and they'll ship it right to your front door.
I just realized between clay and corn, we've got both the vegetable and the mineral covered and the pipe form as well.
Just need the animal. Yeah.
let's definitely not, though.
Yeah, let's not do that.
All right.
Pipe question of the week.
Question of the week. This week coming in from Nathan. Here's what Nathan had to say. I'm getting into blending tobaccos and testing out how they work. I am amazed at the difference of toasting the Virginias for just 10 minutes. Simply stunning. So I'm trying to develop vapor for myself. Virginia Perique.
Yep.
But I'm concerned about how hard the blend may bite. I'm not sure that just treating it with distilled water will soften the blend. I don't want to top the blend either, but a casing might be in order. Mm-hmm. Would the best approach be a mixture of distilled water, sugar, and vodka? What other techniques might be useful in the process? I'd like to try them all and mix a little experimentation with my pipe. That is an amazing thought to me. And that again is from Nathan.
Yeah, man, great question. I love when people start, you know, getting busy in the kitchen, tinkering around with this kind of stuff. And it really does dovetail nicely with, you know, our content from the last 3 weeks because, you know, as you are creating these recipes, Nathan, in your, you know, secret lair, you know, you need to, you know, as understand why you're enjoying them. And so that's great, man. And you know, as you tweak your recipes and all that kind of stuff. Again, the bitey element of pipe tobacco a lot of times has to do with the natural properties of the leaf itself. Virginias, we know, do tend to bite a little more. Perique has that mushroomy flavor to it, but also is high in nicotine. And so if you're talking about how hard the blend may bite, you're probably talking about tongue bite. And some people do use distilled water for this type of thing. People use vinegar. You can, just to add a little extra essence to it. You say you don't want to top it, but you might consider like an apple cider vinegar in order to do that. And so just adds a little nice tang to it, which is useful sometimes in the pipe world. So think about that. Also, again, you mentioned a simple syrup or a sugar, distilled water, vodka as being an option. These are all things that you're just going to have to dial in, but they're all, everything you've mentioned is very common as far as techniques in the tobacco flavoring and home, you know, casing process. And so, you know, most tobaccos are, as we've discussed before, are cased. I mean, the natural flavor of the tobacco itself does not yield itself to a positive experience. And so even your favorite non-aromatic tobaccos in some sense are cased, whether it be, you know, a sugar solution or, you know, something. They've done something to the leaf to give it that delicious flavor. And so I think you're just going to have to continue to try to experiment, but I think you're on the right path. And then everything you've mentioned is certainly worth a shot and would be used by other you know other tobacco blenders. So give it a whirl, man. Experiment. Do a little bit of everything and continue to toast those Virginias and reap the rewards.
All right. Well, there you go. I like how you said kind of that secret laboratory type situation, because that's definitely the vibes I was getting here.
Yeah.
The mad scientist, Nathan. And then lightning right. cracks. It's alive.
Nathan's probably the most straight-laced dude that's ever written into the show.
Probably yeah, is, no. Man. Well, great question, Nathan. And hey, if you've got a pipe question for us, be sure to send it into the show. That is show at Country Squire Radio. Again, that is show at CountrySquireRadio.com.
Quick fire with the Squire.
Quick fire question. Man, after speaking to Nathan, because I think Nathan was, not sure if it was the same Nathan, but Nathan who set us up on the March Madness that became April, May, June, July Madness. It was awesome, but it's over. And now we are back to quick fire questions. So if you're a new listener to Country Squire Radio and you've only been listening to the last, I don't know, few months, welcome. This is what quick fire questions is supposed to be. But we got this is coming in from Pastor Jodo, who said, so last week, the family and I had an amazing opportunity to watch the SpaceX launch in Cape Canaveral, Florida. I remember when that happened way back in the day.
Yeah.
Obviously, this was sent in a while back. He says, it was one of the most amazing things I've ever seen, and I recommend everyone seeing a launch at least once in their life. While in Florida, we also visited Disney World, and so this leads to a couple of quick-fire questions listed for you, a space-related, a Disney-related, and specifically one that may prove controversial. So we're going to do space today. Space! And see how that goes.
Here we are.
All right, you ready, man?
Yep.
All right. Would you rather be the astronaut or stay at Mission Control?
I want to be the astronaut. I'd love to experience weightlessness one time in my life. I think that'd be cool.
Yeah. And if you were, man, I would call up to you from Mission Control and I'd say, this is ground control to Major John.
Major John.
Yeah, because John David. Anyway.
Right. No, it's cute. Yeah.
No, but for real, though, I would love to go to space. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
But I do remember that teacher getting blown up, and that may keep me on the ground. So, yeah. Mission Control.
It's just very dangerous. You know, it's incredible. We see these people, and they go up there, and, you know, there's these iconic images of, you know, people eating their space ice cream or drinking their, you know, globules of water off the, you know, wall or what, I don't know, whatever. But right. Man, it's really dangerous. These people, you know, it's tough. So, but yeah, if I could get back safely, I'd want to be an astronaut.
All right. Next up, visit the moon or visit Mars.
I'm going to go with, ooh.
Yeah, that's tough.
I'm going to go with Mars. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, like, I admittedly, I feel like there's so much more mystery surrounding Mars, and there's kind of like that desire to like explore and you know, discover more there. I mean, there is something very iconic, obviously, about the moon.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm with you. I think you got to go to Mars.
Mars has an atmosphere, right? So, you know, maybe that would make it a little more similar to home. I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right. A mission to the space station or a mission aboard the space shuttle via the Wayback Machine.
Yeah. space station. I'd like to go to the space station, man. Mingle with some of the folks that are up there from other countries. That'd be fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, same. And then see a black hole or see a supernova from a very safe vantage point.
Okay, yeah, good. Yeah, probably supernova, man. The largest explosion in our universe. That'd be cool. Yeah.
Okay. All right. And then finally, 2001: A Space Odyssey or Interstellar?
As far as movies go, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I got to go with 2001: A Space Odyssey, man. If anyone's listening that hasn't seen that, and this is, again, coming from someone who doesn't watch movies.
this is very true.
It's true. Man, you need to see that. That's an interesting film, and it's a good one. Yeah, I got to go with that.
I'm going to go with that, too, but only because I haven't seen Interstellar. And I know that seems weird because you'd think I would have seen Interstellar.
But I've actually seen both those movies. So
how about that?
Something's wrong.
Yeah. I would definitely say Space Odyssey. The other thing, too, is that it's such an iconic film that it's one of those movies that is referenced so often that you miss a lot in other films if you haven't seen it. So I strongly recommend it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there you go. That is our space list from Pastor Joda. You know, it actually does remind me, like, do we need to kind of go back and look at our Pipes in Space series and see what else belongs there, because that's it's a fun topic for sure. Hey, if you got quick fire questions, be sure to send them in to us. That is show@countrysquireradio.com. again, that is show@countrysquireradio.com.
your thoughts, your comments, listener feedback.
All right, man, we got some listener feedback in this week. It's coming in from Carl. You want to take this one from Carl?
Yeah, sure. It's from Carl. He says, I'm a few episodes behind. I was intrigued when Russ mentioned that if you spray vinegar on tobacco, you get tobacco with vinegar on it.
Right.
The obvious conclusion is that the vinegar is creating the fermentation and not applied afterward. This would also have the effect of altering the tobacco. As a guy who likes brewing, winemaking, pickling, and all things fermenting, that suggested a couple of things. The first is the normal process to make vinegar, which is to ferment sugars with yeast and then add, I think, bacteria to convert the alcohol to vinegar. I think this is unlikely because when yeast ferments fruit, the fruit is pretty badly destroyed. The second is to use the process to create a sour beer or a goza, which involves first fermenting the wort, Bo pronounced wort. got your back, bro.
Thank you.
And he didn't know I was the one reading this. So with, I believe, lactobacillus for a short period of time, this consumes some of the sugar, but is then stopped by boiling it again. Boy, talk about a science-y episode.
Yeah, seriously.
In brewing, you then add yeast to convert the remaining sugar to alcohol. The sourness is very vinegar-like, so could McClelland have done the same thing with tobacco? If you know the original tobacco as 24% sugar, but the final product was 12% sugar, that would suggest some fermentation did happen. The final comment that Russ made that really got me thinking was that something was added to prevent mold from growing, because you've never seen a bad tin of McClelland tobacco. Now, if you knew you added bacteria that eat sugar and you believe you likely killed it all, but by curing it with heat, would you be uber cautious and add something to make double secret sure that it doesn't start fermenting it or re-fermenting it, ruin it, and give away your secret? Things that make you go, Well, anyway, a lot going on there. Carl, man, is someone that has thought a lot about these things, other pastimes, which, you know, include winemaking and beer making and pickling, and so has a lot of experience with that type of stuff. Interesting thoughts, man. And again, I'm not privy in any way, in any form or fashion, to what the folks at McClelland were doing to make their tobacco so delicious. But whatever it was awfully good. So, man. Some good hypotheses there, and maybe keep digging around, and we'll come up with the magic solution.
All right. Well, great stuff. And thank you for that, Carl. Hey, if you got some listener feedback for us, of course, you can send it in the show. You can reach us throughout the week. You can tweet into the show at Squire Radio. At John David Cole is John David Cole's Twitter handle. @_CountrySquire is the shop. But all that information and more can be found at CountrySquireRadio.com. Well, man, closing out the How to Train Your Palate series, I think I feel like, to some extent, do we need to have like a graduation ceremony or like da, 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 you know, that kind of thing?
People need a certificate or something? No, I think people just need a drink. And a smoke, obviously.
No, man, I think you're onto something with that right there. Well, hey, man, why don't we go and tie one on ourselves, and hey, let's go have a day.
See you, brother.